Welcome to Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. This is the second part of a feature featuring our founders of Broadcast Dialogue, Howard Christensen, and now we have Ingrid Christensen. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Sean.
How did you guys meet?
My parents gave me a trip to Jamaica when I graduated from university, and I met this lovely couple, and after 2 weeks they said, oh, you got to come and visit us in Canada, and I said, sure, fully expecting that as soon as we all would get home, we would forget about each other, and they did not forget about me, and so they reminded me, and finally I said, okay, I'm going to arrive on August the 2nd, and they had a welcome party for me, and Howard was a friend of this particular couple, and he was on vacation, so he decided to show me around a little bit, and this is how it all started.
Was it love at first sight?
Not really, because he was wearing sunglasses in the kitchen. I thought, that's really odd. But otherwise, he was really nice, and and he showed me the sights, and we had a fabulous time. And precisely on the day, 1 year later, after flying back and forth and daily telephone calls, we got married.
And how did your folks respond to that?
You know, my father in particular always said, hey, you are getting to be old. You are already 25. Why aren't you married? And so when Howard proposed, I went to my parents with a bottle of champagne, and I told them about the marriage proposal, and they burst out in tears. And I said, geez, I can't do anything right for you. And they were sad because of the distance.
Right.
But in the first year, we both went back to Germany, and then every year for 10 years, they came and visited us.
Very good. Good.
Mm-hmm. So they are happy. And people said, oh, it's not going to last because they don't know each other all that well, and we just had our 32nd anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
So we proved them wrong.
Tell me about the call you got from the radio station in Toronto.
It was Tom Rivers doing the call of the day, and he called me up pretending to be Mr. McKenzie from Immigration Canada. And to make a long story short, he said that Howard's third divorce hadn't been finalized yet. And he said, I shouldn't be concerned about it immigrating to Canada. And I said, well, Howard has never, ever been married before. And he strung me along and strung me along. And then finally, he said, hey, Ingrid, it's Tom, and this was the call of the day. And I mentioned one bad word. It was the only bad word that I knew in English. he said, no, you wouldn't be saying it on the radio, and they bleeped over this particular word. Yeah, but he really, really, really had me going for a while, and I continuously said, well, why don't you give him a call? Don't you have his telephone number so that you guys can straighten it out? Yeah, so that, 2 years later, a couple made reference to the call of the day, and she said, oh, this poor, poor woman, and I said, you are looking at her. So the call of the day series was always absolutely fascinating. Loved listening to it.
Now, is this sort of pranksterism, if that's a word, is this indicative of life with Howard?
A little bit. I always said the moment he grows up, we are going to get a divorce. So he doesn't grow up. He's still a kid at heart.
That's awesome. Tell me about how you came to be involved with Broadcast Dialogue. How did that happen?
Well, by coincidence, I started my career in Canada with Volkswagen Canada, and then I moved over to BMW Canada. And then the entrepreneurial spirit bit me, and I became an independent consultant with BMW being my first customer, and I added a few other customers, and I was traveling so much, not just in North America, but also in Europe, Netherlands and the UK, and even Germany, which my parents love because I always could stop by over the weekend to say hello. And frankly, after a few years, it became really, really tiring to do all this traveling and all this great food all the time. And so I listened in to Howard and Barry Hamlin having these discussions, and I thought that I would add my 5 cents worth, and so I kind of sneaked into the business.
and basically became a full-time job, right?
Yes, it did. Full-time from 6 till 10 at night.
Wow. What?
But fun. Yes. Really fun.
Yeah. I often describe to people going into business for oneself is, it beats working for somebody else, but at the same time, the hours are long and oftentimes the pay is uneven. How do you describe sort of that entrepreneurial lifestyle?
Well, I love the independence of having been a consultant. So in other words, if I don't feel like getting up at 6 in the morning, I can get up at 7 in the morning. Now, the job always needs to be done, but if you don't feel that well or it's a gorgeous day out there and you want to go out and play, you can do it. You just pay by doing it, then you work on midnight. But you have this freedom. And frankly, at the time, I made quite a bit of money.
Oh, good, excellent. What do you think is the secret of the success of Broadcast Dialogue?
I'm not sure whether there is a secret to it. We sat down, we discussed what Broadcast Dialogue, what we wanted to the readers to experience, and we came up with a mission, vision, and values statement that we hung up in our office as a continuous reminder. And after we had announced that we would retire from Broadcast Dialogue, and we got all the well wishes from friends and acquaintances and all our readers, we kind of said, you know what, it is absolutely fantastic. Whatever we set out to do, we actually achieved. But we were very, very clear. We had a clear focus what Broadcast Dialogue would be. But that essentially holds true for any business.
Howard has described you as the producer in the business, and he is the writer. Mm-hmm. Can you describe a little bit about that dynamic?
Especially the one-time consuming aspect was the revolving door, and our readers love the revolving door, but you are continuously on the phone and following up and making sure that the information is correct, and any other news that would be coming along needing to be verified and so on and so forth. And then on a Wednesday night, we would have quite spirited discussions about every single item. Not every single item, but two or three where we really would have a very, very healthy discussion about it. And sometimes Howard's opinion overrode mine, and sometimes mine overrode Howard's. But it was a give and take, and I think that also made BD then better because we had these discussions.
And those discussions would be around whether it's the item's newsworthy, what the story really is?
Whether it's relevant, to what degree it's relevant, how, I'm kind of a detail-oriented person, so sometimes I got upset when some details were eliminated because I thought they were important or interesting, you know. So we had our discussions, but then because of that, we always reach consensus afterwards.
As in any good relationship.
Yes. Yes.
So what are you going to do with your Wednesday evenings now?
Read interesting books.
Do you think you'd be satisfied with that?
You asked specifically Wednesday nights. I can tell you that Monday nights and Tuesday nights are going to be very interesting because I'm going back to school.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, I've decided to fulfill a lifelong dream, and I'm going into fashion design.
Good for you.
Yep, and so September the 19th is my first course, and I'm going to be pursuing it. And so this is something that I feel rather passionate about.
That's
and
fantastic.
I talked to a couple of ladies in the industry, and they were incredibly supportive when I told them about my vision of what I wanted to create. You know, and they said, please make sure that you stay in touch.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Good. So, I think people are looking at retirement in different ways these days. And I think the days of sort of hanging up the headphones and going off into the sunset for a lot of people who are as viable as ever isn't necessarily the way.
No, we saw it here in Lagoon City where people said, oh, look forward playing golf or doing this, doing that. But there are thousands of other hours that need to be filled. And I guess everybody wants to be engaged mentally and physically. And everybody needs to have this focus in order to really enjoy life to the fullest.
So, how would you describe Howard? I mean, he's the consummate newsman. He will project what he would like, the listening audience or the readership to know about him. How would you describe him?
When it comes to communication between the two of us, he is the newsman. You know, he bottom lines everything.
Totally.
And then I would have to remind him, is that, hey, we are off the clock here. Could you draw it out a little bit? I really, really, really want to know what everybody said, the precise words, you know. Make it longer. It's not a newscast. Give me the feature. And otherwise, he is a teddy bear and he is just somebody to rely on 100%.
How is he doing with stepping back from his baby?
He is managing quite well, and he is already mulling things over, but the things haven't gelled quite yet. But we definitely have a couple of trips that we want to go on, and he is gonna find then whatever I do with my fashion design. He is in the process of identifying his direction.
Oh, good. Good. So he's not looking to get on the golf course forever either.
No, he hates golf.
That makes two of us. That's great. You know, I was talking to a broadcaster this morning, and they offered this. They said, you know, the great thing about Ingrid, this fella said, is about 10 years ago, I get a call out of the blue from Ingrid Christensen, and she says, we must have a new photo of you. And I said, well, why would she want a new photo? And he said, because she said, you do no longer have hair.
Oh, I'm not so sure whether I was that blind.
I think you were, which is why I think...
Or he must have been a friend.
Well, maybe. I think that brings me to the next thing. I think you're friends to everyone in the industry. But I think what he was saying was, you know, there's a level of connectedness there that goes well beyond what would be expected of people in your position of reporting on the industry. You're keeping such close tabs on people that you are actually monitoring their hairline, which I think is fabulous.
And you know what it boils down to, with going to all these conventions and so on and so forth, you really, really build up relationships, and you move from acquaintance to actually being friends, and you do want to know what's going on in their lives out of a personal interest and not to report on anything, you know. That is actually one of the toughest things at the moment, knowing that there are an awful lot of people, the likelihood of ever seeing with them and raising a glass, you know, is incredibly remote.
Right. Bittersweet, isn't it?
And that's bittersweet.
Yeah. Well, you must have felt, I know you talked a few minutes ago about it, but you must have felt really honored to have been given all those awards as friends of the industry, and then to get the accolades on the retirement issue must have been very rewarding for you.
It was rewarding and sad at the same time. You know, at the WAB, it took every ounce of willpower not to break out in tears. Honest to goodness, that was a tough moment. That was a very, very tough moment.
Well, it was well deserved, I have to tell you. And I guess, you know, congratulations on this new adventure you're starting on. I'm really flabbergasted, not because I don't expect that from you, but it's just to have that drive and the desire to go pursue something. I have a lot of time for that. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Good. Well, thanks for spending some time with us today.
And I'm also absolutely ecstatic about the fact that Broadcast Dialogue is in good hands.
Oh, thanks very much. I can't tell you. I did tell you the other week. It's been so rewarding to have partners like you and Howard. It's more than I could have hoped. So thank you.
And thank you.